ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And we got to have that kind of heart. That's really the heart of God. We can't approve of their sin, and we don't want others to approve of our sin. Samson, he went down, and he not only went down, but he got his parents aside with him, and the whole family went down to Timnah. Wow. Now look at that last part of verse 5 here in Judges 14. Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And I've called these verses here down, 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 because that's really the direction Samson's going. He's not moving up towards God. He keeps moving farther from God. And he's going down with his parents, but for some reason they separated. They took a detour. Maybe he took a back road. I don't know. And he's traveling through these vineyards. He knew better. He shouldn't have. And in this vineyard, where he shouldn't have been, what does he encounter? He encounters a lion. You might say a roaring lion seeking to destroy him, right? Yeah. You know, make no mistake about it. For us, the danger comes when we're complacent in our walk. That's what Peter said. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Don't go places you shouldn't be. You know, people that are alcoholics, you don't have a bar ministry unless God's going to put you there. Be wise. Don't put yourself in situations that are going to get you in trouble. You've seen the animal shows, you know. Maybe I'm dating myself, Wild Kingdom, whatever, National Geographic, where, you know, you've got the little antelope, right, running all by himself, just not paying attention at all. And all of a sudden, what happens? The lion is upon that one and devours him. We need to be wise. We need to be walking with God because the enemy is seeking to devour us, especially in these days. He can't take away our salvation, but he can destroy our witness. And don't we need to shine in this dark world today? I mean, think about this stuff. 5 years ago, did you ever think you would see the immorality and violence and wickedness that is going on today? I never thought it would get this bad. I knew what the Bible said, but I thought, it can't be like, I mean, I look at it now, it just scratched my head. Do you realize in California, they have passed a law, and I warned people about this, if you can have sex with a child if you are within 10 years of the age of that child. Now, I'm not sure how far that goes. I think, what is it, Tony, 14 or something, 15? 14. So you can have sex. If you're 24, you can have sex with a child who is 14. People laughed at me when I said, oh, homosexuality has passed being legalized now. Just wait, pedophiles are next. And that's what we're seeing. Wow. The devil wants to destroy. We need to be wise. This lion appears before Samson. If he was never there, it would have never happened. Now, God is gracious and merciful, and he rips this lion apart. Now, I don't care who you are. You are not going to rip a lion apart. They're going to rip you apart. Samson did not do this on his own strength. There is no way. I don't care who he is, okay? I think he should have been aware. Hey, God is with me. What am I doing here, right? There's no way I should have been able to defeat this lion. He should have killed me. And yet, he heads back down to Timnah. He sees this Philistine woman. Our God is gracious with us, just as he was with Samson. But there comes a point where judgment comes. And we'll see that towards the end of Samson's life. He kills this lion, right? And all of a sudden, God is out of his mind. And he goes down to Timnah, to this woman. I hate to use the word love. It's probably not correct. It's more lust. What about us? Look at all that God has done, is doing, and is going to do, will do in our lives. And when we're delivered from a difficult situation, we go right back to the sin. We start to travel down once again. You know, remember 9/11 and how churches were filled with people after 9/11. Oh, back to God, everyone's turn. And then what happened? They got comfortable again and everyone, you know, did whatever they wanted. They left the church. Some people love to use all kinds of excuses to justify again what they're doing. I mean, I've heard the craziest things before. Samson, God delivered him, and he's with this Philistine woman. I've heard people talk about smoking marijuana. There was a Christian guy who told me, hey, God made the plants, so it's okay to smoke marijuana. I'm thinking, well, then I guess it's okay to take cocaine, right? No, it's not. Why? Because the Bible says don't take those mind-altering drugs. Years ago, an old Scottish woman went to country homes to sell thread, buttons, and shoestrings. And when she came to an unmarked crossroad, she would toss a stick in the air and go whichever way the stick pointed. One day, she was seen tossing the stick into the air several times, falling to the ground. And someone asked, you know, why do you toss the stick several times? She answered, it is pointed every time to the road going to the right, and I want to go to the road to the left. It looks smoother. She kept throwing the stick until it finally pointed toward the road she wanted to go. And that's what some Christians will do. They'll talk to enough people who will justify their behavior, or they'll find some, you know, obscure passage in the Bible that will say, they make it sound like it's justifying their sin. You know, I could show you, I've told you this before, that in the Bible it says he was bald and he was clean. So we should all shave our heads and we'll be clean. No, look at, what does it say before? What does it say after? What is the context? But you can find all kinds of things to justify your bad behavior. Don't do that with your walk with the Lord. For us as Christians, especially in the days we're living in where people are watching us, it's so important that we walk worthy of the high calling by which we've been called. To be holy because the Lord is holy. And he's working in us, but we can't grieve the work of the Holy Spirit by our sin. We can have our prayers hindered by our sin. And, you know, when we speak of sin, we tend to think of big sins, but sin is sin. And yes, there are degrees of punishment for the unsaved in regard to their sins, but any sin is wrong. People think, well, it's just a little lie. Well, I'm not gossiping, but did you hear the one about so-and-so? And I'm only telling you this so you can pray for him. Or come on, it was just a paperclip. It's not really stealing. I mean, they a dime a dozen. Wow, I should have a house like that. I love God more than they do. And this is where I live. Look at that house. Or my parents are so dumb, they just don't get anything. And then they want me to listen to them. Crazy, it's not going to happen. And we can go on. We can put all kinds of things in there. But, you know, we look at lying and gossiping and stealing small things, coveting, dishonoring to parents as little sins. But they're not. Let me share this with you, kind of see where I'm going with this, about how deadly sins are. This person wrote, he said, I was in an engineering class the first time I watched the tragic explosion of the space shuttle Challenger. Even though I wasn't alive when it happened, I caught a glimpse of the horror thousands must have felt as the events unfolded. And the first question everyone asked was, what happened? After months of investigation, the group commissioned to investigate the explosion discovered the problem. An O-ring seal in the right solid rocket booster failed at takeoff. I won't bore you with the details, but an O-ring is a tiny device compared to the size of a space shuttle. It wasn't something huge like a puncture in the rocket booster or a hole in the cabin that caused the disaster. It was a small, seemingly insignificant O-ring failure. I think there's a lesson here for the church. What if the big sins, the ones we try hardest to avoid, aren't necessarily the greatest threat to the church's mission and our joy? Maybe it's the sins lying underneath, the ones considered normal or acceptable, the ones going undetected that are affecting the church the most. I think that's it. You know, the big sins we're aware of, it's those little sins that can be very destructive in our lives. Samson saw that he was doing nothing wrong. He was going down, 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 though. We saw it with Jonah, right? God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, warned the people of Nineveh that judgment was coming because of their sins. Wow. Jonah gets this call from God. And what does he do? He goes in the opposite direction. He runs away. Goes down to the Mediterranean Sea, to the city, or to the port city of Joppa, catches a Phoenician boat to Tarshish, area probably of Spain, some 2,500 miles west of Joppa, far away from Nineveh as he can go. Why? What was so hard for him to go to Nineveh? Why did he disobey the Lord? Because Jonah wanted the people of Nineveh destroyed. Think about that. I want you to go warn these people that judgment's coming. No, I want them dead. We got to be careful as Christians, right? When we look at this world, I mean, my heart grieves now for the Supreme Court justice, right? Who died not knowing the Lord. That's the tragedy. Why did he want them destroyed? Because the Assyrians were horrible people. Nineveh was known as the sanctuary of savagery. How do you like that for your city's name, right? One Assyrian king did the following to defeat his foes. This is one man. 3,000 captives I burned with fire, their corpses I formed into pillars, their governor I flayed, his skin I spread upon the wall of the city. From some I cut off their hands and their fingers and their noses. Of many I put out their eyes. I formed a pillar of heads against the city gate, and 700 men I impaled on stakes. Now you know why. Jonah said, there's no way I want them saved. I want them dead. They're horrible, horrible people. And he refused to listen to God. And Samson is doing the same thing. For Jonah, he kept going down and down and down. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. In verse 5, then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. And finally, in Jonah 1:17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah wanted to go down. Lord said, okay, I'll take you down as far as you can go. I don't know how far whales can go, but they can go pretty far down. And it took him 3 days in the belly of a whale to repent, right? 3 days. I'm in the water and I'm going, Lord, get me out of here, right? He gets swallowed by a whale and his heart is so hard. I'm not doing it. I'm just going to stay in this whale. I don't care. I'd rather be dead. And he finally goes, okay, I surrender, right? He was moving away from God. He's trying to hide from God. And like I said, the sanctuary of savagery was what Nineveh was known as. And I look at our nation and I think, yeah. Lord, bring, you know, fire and brimstone down. We want to be like James and John. Destroy them, wipe them out, Lord. But that's not our mission. What is the great commission? To go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all these things that I have commanded you. Well, it's bad out there. It's scary out there. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Wow. Okay, God's commissioned us, but he says, I'm not just sending you out there on your own. I'm going to be with you every step of the way. We have to be careful as Christians, especially in this day where wickedness is so rampant, that we don't sit up in ivory towers looking down at the wickedness of man, thinking that we're better. We are no better. We're sinners too. separated from God, it's only because of Christ, his grace and mercy that is extended to all of us. And we need to bring that gospel message to the lost. But I'll tell you this, if you start going down that road, it will take you down, 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 moving farther and farther away from God. And sometimes, like with Samson, and we're going to see, he was so far away from God, he didn't even realize it until he was taken captive. And that's really our conclusion. Look at chapter 16 of Judges, verse 21, where we're told this, "Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison." We see, actually, in verse 20, it says, "He did not know that the Lord had departed from him." Wow. That's how far away from God he had gone. And now he's taken captive by the Philistines. And he's blind, he's bound, and he's grinding at the millstone. What a sad picture. But in reality, this is what sin does. It blinds us and it binds us and it grinds at us. And as you allow sin to continue in your life, what it happens is it blinds us to the truths of God. We don't see our sin anymore. We're comfortable in what we're doing. We've justified it. And we're blind to our sin. That's with Samson. He wasn't even aware of all the sin he was involved in. There are many Christians today who are blinded to the truths of God and are walking around being guided by this world, being conformed to the image of this world. And they use the world kind of as their seeing eye dog to lead them where they should go. And they're all involved in all kinds of activities that are contrary to the word of God. We need to let God guide us. Keep our eyes focused upon him. It not only blinds us, our sin, but it binds us by its power. It places us in bondage. I mean, you think about it. You know, alcohol, drugs, pornography, sexual relations, they end up binding you. You are in bondage to it. Jesus says, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Absolutely. So that means the devil wants to keep us in bondage. Follow the Lord. Don't follow your fleshly desires. Don't be a slave to sin. Because I'll tell you this, it not only blinds us, it not only binds us, as it did Samson, as he had chains put on his hands and feet, but it grinds at our lives and it makes us miserable. Sin, just grinding at your life. Samson was at the millstone, grinding the wheat, going round and round and round and round. Can you imagine that? Day in, day out. Sin was grinding at him. It just must have devastated him. A constant reminder of his failure before God and his people. He was a broken man. Here was a man who had such great potential to be used by God to deliver Israel from the Philistines, but because he let his flesh control his life, he's now captive, blind, bondage, grinding. But there's more to it than that. Praise God for that. God is so gracious and merciful. I think this is exactly what Samson needed to turn back to God. He needed to be broken. And many times God will allow us to reach that point where, you know, we just can't run from him anymore. There's no place to go. I'm not a fisherman. I'm more of a caster. I cast my line. I don't necessarily catch fish. But I do know this. You catch a fish, you're reeling them in, and they're fighting, right? They are fighting tooth and nail. They are not coming in. So what do? You release the line a little bit, and you let them run. Just a little bit. And then you start reeling them in again. That's what God does with us. As we're running from him, and God's got us. He's bringing us back. He's drawing us back. All of a sudden, we're fighting him, tooth and nail, right? Going all over the place. God says, okay, you want to go? There we go. We get tired. Here we go. God's reeling us back. And that's what God is doing with Samson. He hit rock bottom. And he's walking around this grinding wheel, day in and day out, grinding the wheat. And as he does, guess what? He returns to the Lord. Instead of going down, he's looking up. Wow, that is an awesome thing. And that is an amazing thing because it shows God's grace. God could have just said, Samson, I'm done with you. That's it. Right? But he didn't. He loved Samson so much that he allowed him to continue down this path until Samson had reached the end of his rope and decided to look back up. And he repented. And we'll see. It'll be a few weeks before we get to Judges 16 in our study here. But the Philistines call for Samson to perform some great feat of strength. Put him on display. And he's brought into the temple of their god Dagon, and he's placed, he asked the boy who brought him there, you know, place my hands on the two pillars. Remember, he's blind. And he pushes them down, and 3,000 men and women who were up on the wall of the Colosseum there were killed that day by Samson. And Samson, of course, lost his life as well. Samson returned to the Lord, but here's the tragedy. In Judges 16:30, it says, so the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. Wow. He could have done more. But because of his sin, it took his death to destroy more of the enemy than in his life. We need to stay on the right track. Don't get taken off course. Place your feet upon the solid ground, Jesus Christ. He's immovable. Okay? You place your feet on this world, it'll take you where they want you to go. Place your feet upon the rock and you won't be moved. You won't be drifting away from the truths of God found in the Word of God. But if we follow this world, if we place our feet upon the unstable ground, we're going to be going down, down, down. Yes, God is gracious and merciful and will continue to work in our lives. But boy, so much better to be obedient to what the Lord has said and follow Him and see what He can do not only in us but then through us. And I'm just going to close with two scriptures here this morning. First, in Psalm 101, verses 3 and 4, where we're told this, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall not depart from me. I will not show or not know wickedness. Yeah. You know, stand strong in the Lord. Obey His word. Don't compromise your faith and walk in the high calling by which you have been called. When you stand up for righteousness, guys, the world is not going to appreciate it. Who would ever think that standing up for the unborn, people would hate you for it? Who would think that? Isn't that the craziest thing? Well, I'm standing up for a life. So it's not murdered in the womb. No, it's not murder, it's abortion. No, it's murder, because that child's alive. We're not living in the dark ages. We know that that child's alive, feels pain, moves away from light, moves away from pain. But they don't want the world to know that. They don't want anyone to know that you have those, you know, four-dimensional ultrasounds that you could see the baby's face. It looks just like a baby. They don't want you to see that because this is just a piece of tissue. Oh, no, it's not. But they hate you for it. Don't compromise what you believe. Today, we have to stand strong, just like they did in the early church. I will encourage you, start out your day as the psalmist reminds us in Psalm 5:3, where he said, my voice you shall hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. What a great way to start the day. Just reading the word, speaking to God, Lord, direct my day. I'm looking to you. I'm not going to look down. I'm going to look up, and I want you to direct me each and every moment of my day. I don't care if I'm busy at work. You could still speak to my heart, and I want to follow you. We need to look up and keep our eyes focused upon Jesus and walk as He leads us. What a wonderful thing to do. You know, God has given us the power to live as He wants us to live. It's the Holy Spirit working in us. You know, the Bible is not a self-help book. I was just talking with Steve today about that. It's not a self-help book. It's a God help me please book, right? And He does. We cry out to Him. He hears our voice. And He guides us each and every day. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, this is a hard lesson, Lord. The life of Samson's a tough one because maybe we've gone down some of these paths. Lord, help us to learn these lessons. Not to go down, but to look up. to be directed by you each and every day. What a wonderful thing that is. It's not always easy, but Lord, you give us the strength, you give us the power, you give us the confidence in you to do the things you want us to do. May we take a stand for you and shine brightly in this world that is really getting darker and darker. And thus this our light, the light of God, should shine more brightly in us. Thank you, Lord, for being our God, your love, your grace, your mercy. And Lord, I pray for each individual here. Lord, strengthen them. Help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, watching come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.